There's very few people in your world that dare to give up their time and energy and interest to this work. And there's no doubt about it, they wanted to make you stay a little longer on your side, so no doubt they did everything in their power to get you well. From what I gather, it was almost a miracle. You're really feeling all right?
Oh, I'm feeling fine, all right.
Physically all right?
Yes, thank you. I feel fine, all right.
But you had a very nice operation, I believe, did you not?
Yes.
I heard a lot about you from certain people. Mm-hmm. People that, of course, you probably know quite well.
You want to do this work, it's not a good family.
You know, one of the people who gives a lot of time to you both is Emma Harding Britton.
Oh,
I don't know if she's ever spoken to you, but I've often had conversation with her. And Emma Fisher is very interested in both of you. And I feel that she'd like to see you linked more with the Spiritualist National Union. I think she feels that you could do a lot of work in that direction.
Yes, well,
I think you know that there's room not only just for your tapes, but for an organization built around them. Perhaps you don't like the idea of an organization.
Oh, yes, you do. Providing it's
commercialized. Well, I suppose to some extent you can't do without money. You must have money, otherwise, how can you manage? In your world, you have to have some sort of income.
Providing it.
No, of course. Anyway, I'm not here to tell you what to do in that sense, I don't. But Emma Harding's person was very anxious indeed that this truth, which she was so concerned with when on earth and still is on this side, should be brought out more. And the tapes seem to me to be a marvelous way in which you can bring to every individual who's interested this truth. I mean, whereas there must be difficulties, at the same time, your tapes can reach people who perhaps could never go to a meeting or a society or organization. People who are completely, as it were, remote in small hamlets and small places, nowhere near towns, where they never have the opportunity of listening to mediumship. Wonderful work you can do with these things. You have no connection with the Reverend Bertram Woods, are you, Mr. Woods?
I know the name, but I know the
name. Oh, because Emma Harding's Britton was talking to me about a Reverend Bertram Woods that she sometimes goes to on Earth, and I wondered if there was any connection.
I know him very well.
Oh, do you?
Yes, very well.
Evans, he's a very sincere gentleman indeed, and is endeavouring to do some very good work in regards to this.
Yes,
is that it?
Yes.
Of course, you know, I was very much associated with the church when I was on your side.
Yes.
And I tried to do, in my own way, work among the poor people. I know Shaftesbury very well, you know. Shaftesbury often comes to these sessions of yours.
Oh,
do
you? Lord
Shaftesbury. He wouldn't call himself Lord Shaftesbury now.
Shaftesbury.
He's a wonderful man. When he's on there. He's not the poor children.
It's
come
very well,
now. But what kind of
religious
feel? Very, very
orthodox.
Oh, I suppose, yes, I was very narrow, very orthodox. And yet, at the same time, although I was orthodox, I was not, in some senses, as narrow as perhaps many of my contemporaries and friends. Mm-hmm. Lillian Davis and I have a good friend, you know. Everything here continues the same as we did on Earth, only on a different, only entirely different level, I suppose. We have plays, we have new compositions, great musicians. We have all the aspects of what you've done, I suppose you've done in entertainment. Well, in a sense, it could still be likened as entertainment, but with a purpose. We have a great dramatist, we have a great play, we have great actors, great ballets. I've seen Pavlova, Kinijinsky, I've seen Caruso, or listened to Mary Caruso, and Bolova. So all the great ones still continue to do the work that they love. But of course, everything here is something more precious. It's not, as it is so often done on your side for commercial reasons, although of course you realize the artistic integrity of the artist when on your side and the work doesn't really perform. But here it is all done for love and for service.
And in our little voice, well, they're very much more
everything, of course, is on an entirely different vibration. And therefore, it's very difficult to explain. But nevertheless, when a person sings, that voice, as it were, vibrating the condition of his or her life, is audible. It is something which is very tangible, very real. I would not like you to think that we just communicate entirely by thought. If a person wishes to voice something, then they have those organs and they can communicate by speech or by creating sound. But it's not an essential or necessary thing here.
Yeah.
But if you go to the opera, then of course you do hear great voices. But the musical aspect of sound is something which is far removed from your conception of it. For instance, Nova, or any great singer here, because they are singing even more than when on earth from the innermost soul, then the sound is on a much different vibration. It is much more vibrant and more compelling, more full of passion and tone and quality, and above all, it has in it an aspect of individual love. I don't know how to put this into words because there are no ways in which one can really describe this, but it's as if when they are singing, they are not only singing notes, they're not only creating sound, and not only, as it were, in their voice, recreating some aspect of the individual's soul, but they are giving forth something which is far, in a sense, removed from themselves. It's an aspect which one cannot find an expression or way of putting into words. You see, many souls in your world are very talented and can create an instrument such as a violin or a cello or piano, whatever the instrument may be, wonderful sound. And if they are really artists, they can put something of themselves into it which is individual, which distinguishes them from others who may be interpreting the same piece of composition or work, but in a different way. Over here, of course, this is the same, but it is on a different level, in as much as there is so much quality, and which not only itself, but that they are expressing something far removed from what was originally the material conception. It's as if the very soul of the artist, the creator, is being recreated again by the artist who is performing the work. And but here you are having something which is so vast and so immense and so comprehensive and so all-embracing. On earth you can only have a limited expression or a limited quality, a limited sort of aspect of the work. Here it is as if it is performed not by an individual, it is as if it is being performed by innumerable individuals who are making a contribution to the same work. An orchestra here may consist of several hundred musicians, and though they are individuals, each playing their individual role or part, each creating their individual sound, the whole concept of the work is such that it falls, as it were, into a complete oneness, and yet the sound is so tremendous, and with the sound, of course, a great deal of colour is brought into being. This is something one cannot put into words. Colour is a very important thing for us. Music and colour go hand in hand, you might say. Music vibrating, as it does here, creating colour harmonies and vibrations. All these things bound together creating something which in itself is very new and very tangible, and also soothing even for theatrical players. These are narratives. I have not heard you think, as some people seem to suggest, that it's just from force, and there the scene is. In a sense, this does apply on certain spheres, but scenery is something which can be and is constructed, and it is created by artists whose task it is to recreate beautiful scenery and settings from certain operas and plays, and they do create these in a sense, as you would term it in a physical way, in as much as there is effort and work involved. Usually things do not necessarily come to us simply and easily, that's because we're here. Everything here is something that must come through effort, and the opportunity is given to all to be creative. And since every individual has a creative talent, even though it is very much dormant with most people, it is there that can be utilized, brought out, encouraged, developed. Artists teach other artists and help souls to appreciate and understand art. In fact, you might say that the artistic aspect of man is the one thing which is more dynamic and more powerful here than any drop on earth. Indeed, when you look upon an individual, you will see that it is the sensitized artistic temperament that is most encouraged and the most, one might say, the most valuable of all, because through all forms of art, the soul is expressing itself. And it is this high mental and spiritual aspect of man, which is to us the most important vital aspect of all. And though there are in your world innumerable people who have little or no appreciation or interest in art, it is because they are so sadly lacking in these aspects of realization in your world that they do, when they come here, begin to realize the lack in themselves and seek guidance and help on these aspects of nature. And they are taught and guided and helped, and they begin to improve as individuals because of this. Those in your world who lack the spiritual realization of beauty and truth and realize so little of the true aspect of the artist, and I refer to the artist in the sense of music and of painting, sculpture, all the creative talents which are there dormant in man, are released here to the extent that every individual, in some sense or other, is subscribing to the common good in beauty and the creation of beauty, in architecture, in design, in color, in music, in all the varying forms of art. You find here thousands upon thousands of souls on different spheres and planes, creating for each condition of life some aspect of beauty. Every individual contributes something. No one is so low down the scale that they cannot be, as it were, encouraged and guided to a higher plane of thought and realization, and creative thought and power can be theirs just as much as the more completely creative artists who still create on this side, who then on your side will also, like Michelangelo and all the good ones. Here, art is a reality, a living thing.
You come here, you come to the earth,
oh, yes, beautiful. But if you are the exception, there's very little that in your world of beauty today is really no spiritual value. In fact, the spirituality is sadly lacking. There is very little artistic endeavor. Indeed, so much respect to your modern life, your modern world, which to us, of course, is so ugly and has very little to recommend it. One never, of course, ignores, and one cannot ignore, that there is a creative spirit in all men, in all mankind. Although there are few artists of any real note, certainly very few who are creating a thing of beauty. In your world, there is so much being reflected in the theater, in the arts, which is in itself a reflection of the age in which you live, which to us becomes even more hideously ugly, more depressing, and indeed more material. To us, of course, this is a very sad thing, that there is so much ugliness, there's so much in your world which is excessive. There seems to be very little beauty, very few people are striving for the creation of sincere realization of beauty in all its many facets and forms. You see,
good to create the otherness of life. We know that in the otherness of life there are lessons to be learned. And in that aspect, I suppose one could say that one is justified in recreating in an artistic form the otherness of life around you, the otherness in human beings. I suppose if you show these things to others, then perhaps they will see for themselves the otherness in life and in people and so on, and it may help them. One likes to see this. But unfortunately, that lesson does not necessarily always work in that way. We feel that there should be more beauty shown, more nobleness of man shown on the stage, for instance, in a movie. I think if one were to show the good and the wonderful aspects of man, of what he could become, of what he should aspire to, if one were to do these things in a highly spiritual sense, in your theatres and so on, in your books, in your plays, in your music and opera, if you were to reflect the greatness of man, the possibility of greatness of man, the aspiration of man, I think it would be enabling and encouraging to people. I do not think that it is good to show the lesser aspects all the time. In some senses, of course, this is necessary, but not always is it being this ugliness, this tediousness, this lesser aspect of man's nature, which is always being shown and revealed. And indeed, many people seem to think this is something that is good, whereas, of course, we know so well it is not.
The research has come, but of course, all this ground they are in the literature, in the last 20-30 years, I don't think the world is very different.
Oh, I think it has.
And I think theoretically.
I think it has. I think that you cannot have a war, such as you have, in which millions of innocent people are involved, and being sent here in such a sudden manner. You must remember that people do not suddenly become angels, and indeed many with time have got out fine. And sometimes they cling to us with thoughts of despair and unhappiness. Sometimes in isolated cases of hatred and the thought of revenge. There are so many different aspects of the human element in mind, in nature, and which are around the world, which can influence. I think that your world is today a product of the past generation, of warriors and so on. I think that these things cannot be essentially avoided. If you create the material force, evil things, then those evil things will persist, at least for time.
So then you attract the kind of
people that are coming from our world. Very good. And that is another difficulty we have to face. When we come to communicate with you, we have to try and break through the barrier. As it were, the hideousness which lies around the world. We have to try the both themselves, for the myriads, the earth forms, the things inside of us too. We find it very difficult at times in clearing the path for the work that we strive to do. I don't think anyone can realize the complication and the difficulty that we must have of when we try to work and to help and do what we can do for you. There are so many factors. You just do not understand. I don't think you could. But I do say that where it is possible, we do all we can. But there are complications of which you cannot learn nothing. It's impossible for it to appreciate. And the tragedy is, of course, there are so many things in your world who are affected by these conditions. And indeed, there are many people in your world who are essentially victims of spirits or entities who are not necessarily evil, but at least mischievous, and who influence and do make people in your world say and do things which are in themselves bad. You must face the fact that there are good and bad influences at work all the time, all around the world, which is why we strive to uplift as best we can and inspire you and encourage you to know, communicate and make contact with those souls who can really help and guide you and lift you out of these dark, these dreary conditions and these unhappy times. We want to change the world, but the task is so tremendous. But I do hope that I'm sure and pray that you will be guided and I know you'll be great for
us. One thing I'd like to ask is, you did ask that how do you keep a path from one plane to another? What sort of process they go with? Isn't that sort of dying again?
Or? No, it's a good death in the sense that you understand. It is a consciousness, it is really a consciousness and awareness. which has come into view of the world according to itself has aspired and evolved, and consequently, as you aspire and evolve, so you lift yourself up mentally and spiritually into a higher vibration, and the things that were therefore not visible previously therefore become visible, and then you begin to enter into the consciousness of the new life, of the new world, and you gradually therefore become a partner of it, or with it. In other words, it's a necessary evolution. There is no suddenness about it, there is no sudden change. Not like death, if you understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to my God and blessing is
to
you. Oh, yes, please do.
Do you know anyone taken in the third world who was listening to the state? We tried to look on that on the invader, and she was thinking, we tried to look it after, and she was interested. Do you know anybody who was listening to the state?
No, I do not.
Mm-hmm.
I was a sort of person that makes lots of good.
Yeah.
I thought she was interested in spiritualism.
Yes, but she's never been in there to take all the secretary things, you know, that's not in
there. What happened? We can force people.
Mm-hmm.
I should not be so depressed.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. No love and blessing. Please find it.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Thank you.